This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Post-match chat with chaps for that Millwall podcast, where it's just finished at the Den. Millwall 3, Cardiff City 1. And we edge that little bit closer to Championship survival with a 3-1 win in what I would call a controlled performance. I think we played better against...
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the side that came and made it difficult for us. But look, we've reached a 50-point mark. And I tell you, when that third goal went in, oh my God, like just the relief was, you could just feel it around the ground. It was just a fantastic moment. And that's 2 home wins now on the bounce. Neil Harris, 5 home games, 4 wins, 1 draw. Still yet to concede in open play. What a man, seriously. What a job he is doing. Averaging 1.7 points per game, which is borderline. Well, no, I think it is playoff form. That is playoff form. 1.7 points per game is exceptional. And hats off to the man, Neil Harris. But look, I'm just absolutely buzzing over the moon. I had to get home and film this straight away. I'm doing a month off the beer, and it's difficult, I'm not going to lie. So I'm like, right, I don't know. I know what I do to distract myself this evening. So, I'm just absolutely buzzing. And let's just get in and talk about the game. Before I get into it as normal, just want to wish one of my very good friends, I hope you're listening, Roy. A very happy birthday to you tomorrow, mate. Happy birthday, mate. Hope you the Millwall win was the icing on the cake for you. Right, so let's get into it then. So the lineup was as I expected it to be, in honesty, and probably everyone expected it to be, which was the team that started the last game, but with one change, which was Romain Essay to come into the side. And I felt he deserved it. I felt his cameo performance, it's more than a cameo, to be fair. He was on the pitch for 40-odd minutes. But that performance deserved it. So he came into the lineup for George Honeyman, who I'm assuming is injured. Obviously, he went down with his shoulder. I've not heard anything from the club in terms of what's up with him, but hopefully it's not too bad. And also Ryan Longman seemed to go off with a slight injury today, which also, again, I hope is not too bad. So that was the 11. But what was more pleasing, I guess, was to see some of the lads back on the bench. So We had Nisbet back on the bench, which was good. Obviously, Bradders was. We also had Joe Bryan returning to the bench. And then the lads that dropped out was, of course, George Honeyman. George Honeyman dropped out. And then, of course, Wes Harding dropped out of the squad. And Ida Momomaku, I don't know if that's tactical or an injury. Hopefully it's just tactical, although if it is, it'd be a weird decision. So I don't really know what's going on there. But the other person returning to the squad, of course, was Duncan Watmore, who would come on at half-time. But more on that later. So that was our lineup. For Cardiff, they're not a bad side. If I'm honest, I think for any Cardiff fans listening to this, I think throughout the game, you look well-organised, well-drilled. I just think that we wanted it that little bit more. And rightly so, you've got nothing to play for. So I think that was the difference, in all honesty. Some good players, you know, Yaku Mate always causes us problems. When he was at Reading, he caused us bonus of problems, and obviously he would go on to score today. Really impressed with Colwell, really impressed with him. He's a good player. I think if he has another good season, I think you'll struggle to keep hold of him. As much as I don't like your left back Collins, I thought he was decent. So And the little fella in midfield, I don't know his name, but he seemed to have an half decent game as well. So some good players, and I think they've probably, you know, overachieved this season, Cardiff. And they come in off the back of a 1-0 victory away at Birmingham in midweek. They played on Wednesday, we played on Tuesday, and they've gone back to back away games. So I always felt that if we could just sustain those energy levels and the fact we needed it more, today was the day where we could all but seal safety. And I think we've done that. But more on the table situation later on. So the game kicks off. And as we have been, we started the first. And when I say started, I'm talking about the first 2 minutes. We were at the blocks with tons of pressure, putting balls into the box and thinking that we didn't really create anything. But we were definitely out of the blocks. But I felt that. Between sort of a lot happened in the first sort of 10 minutes. We had, I've written down here as well, and I want to talk a bit about Romain Essay, because obviously him being put into the side and then come out of it at half time. And Harris has come out and said it was tactical. I've noted down here, he gave the ball away four times in the opening 5 minutes. I think Romain is a young, I think he's just turned 18. He's a young lad. It's very difficult to expect a lot of him. He deserved his start. But I think, and I said this in midweek, I think you saw today why it is completely different coming on as a sub and being an impact sub versus starting a game. And I'm not digging him out. I just want to make that perfectly clear. All I'm saying is there's a lot of people that are on a bit of a hype train with him. He's got a lot of talent, and I'm sure he'll go on to play at a very high level. All I'm saying is, I think you saw today, and ultimately Harris saw this, which is why they took him off, as to why there's still tweaking that needs to be done, which is to be expected. He's 18, right? They put a ball in from a corner. They're very dangerous from corners. I believe they are the top side in the league for scoring set pieces. So they're always going to be dangerous from a corner. A corner comes in and Cooper heads it straight back into the penalty area and it's volleyed over. We got away with one there. But then probably against the run of play, we take the lead on 8 or 9 minutes and it's really nice link-up play. Ball's played forward. Obafemi lays it off to Fleming. Fleming then really clever. He knows that as soon as Obafemi's done that, he's going to spin and run over the top. Fleming plays the perfectly weighted ball over the top. But make no mistake about it, Obafemi's got a lot to do. He chests the ball down, controls it, drives into the area. He's got the pace, he's got the strength off of two very decent centre-halves in Nat Phillips and Gutas. He drives into the box and unleashes a left-footed half volley into the bottom corner. It is the near post, but I think it was hit with such power that it was kind of gone past the keeper before he could even move. Don't get me wrong. I think if that was Sarkic, I'd be saying he should do better. More on Sarkic in a moment. But really well taken goal. And we go 1-0 up. And you was hoping for an early goal to settle the nerves. You know, the atmosphere started to pick up. Obviously, the sun was shining. At that point, no one else was winning around us. It was just perfect, right? But of course, it wasn't going to stay that way for too long. On 23 minutes, we give away a stupid free kick. I think it was Saville gave it away. And against a side like Cardiff, I'm sure a lot of teams say again about us, you don't give free kicks away that are inside, you know, your own half. And we do. We give a stupid free kick away. The ball is put into the box and Yakub Meite rises above Tanganga. Probably one of the only things he did wrong all game. For that reason, though, he's not my man of the match because he was excellent at times today, Tanganga. But Yakub Meite gets above Tanganga and heads it into the bottom corner. From the angles I've seen, Sarkic should save that still. So you lose the first contact in the box and then your keeper down at his sort of near post. He's got to save that. I don't know whether he was unsighted or the sun was there. I don't know, but I think he needs to save that. And then it's 1-1. And then from probably that goal up until we then go on to get the second, I felt we looked really edgy. The crowd was edgy. We were edgy. Goals started to go in. Birmingham took the lead against Coventry and all this stuff started to happen. I was on my phone constantly checking the scores. Probably quite stupid, really, because all we need to do is take care of ourselves. But you can't help yourself, can you, at times? And I've noted down here that, you know, there was a... So Obafemi should have got a free kick. The referee plate carried on. The ball goes into the box. And there is the most blatant push. It's on 33 minutes. Watch it back. That I've ever seen in the back of Fleming. It's in the penalty area. To me, it's a penalty. What I would say, though, is from a referee, you're looking for consistency. And there were tons of pushes throughout the rest of the game from both teams. And he didn't blow up once. So whilst at that point in the game, I was like, that's a penalty. He then went on to be consistent and not give any of the pushes. However, some of the linesman decisions were an absolute shambles. And the one certainly near me, sitting block five, was an absolute disgrace, particularly with the Collins-Longman scuffle that happened in the second half, which we'll talk about in a minute. But they should then take the lead. Actually, again, from a corner, I think it was a bit of a melee in the box. It breaks on the penalty spot and it is a whisker away. I'm not quite sure who it was, but it was an absolute whisker away. And that corner was conceded by SA not tracking his man. And I'm not, people are going to listen to this and be like, you're digging out SA. I'm not. I am trying to say why I think Harris took him off. Having said that, maybe I'd have given him a little bit longer, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So they absolutely should have gone 2-1 up. It was their best chance to score a second goal for the whole game. Watch it back. It's a whisker away. Then we start to get a bit of pressure from our own, again, from a couple of corners. It was a very corner-dominated first half. And we have a couple of corners. And it's the second corner that we do take the lead. So the ball is recycled. It's then played back out and it finds its way out to SA. And SA puts a really good ball into the box. Super ball. It then gets flicked on by one of their players to Cooper, who volleys it into the top corner. It's a super finish. I'm assuming he's trying to clear it. But Cooper scores his first goal, I believe, in just under 14 months. And you know what? I really hope Omar put a bet on. Omar, I think, has basically been putting a bet on every single week for Cooper to score. So I really hope he did this week. So Omar, if you're listening, you'll have to let me know if you did. I did. And it's only the second time all season I've actually put money on Cooper to score. So I'm buzzing. I've got myself a little win there. So thank you, Cooper. Thank you, Coops. About time he scored, in all fairness. That was his, as I say, his first goal in almost 14 months, first goal of the season. yeah, we take the lead just on a stroke of half time. There is quite a bit of stoppage time. And in that, Mate goes on a bit of a run, but a really good tackle from Tanganga. And then the half is drawn to a close. So we're 2-1 up at half time. You're looking at results around you. And, you know, ultimately, you just got to concentrate on winning your game. And that's what we do. So the second half, I felt, was overall a better performance from us. I don't really think they created much at all. There was a couple of long-range efforts. One in particular that, from my angle, it looked like a good save from Sarkic. It looked like it was a long way out. It was on 66, but I felt that Sarkic was probably unsighted from that. So that was really good play from save from him. They made a lot of subs. Sort of huffed and puffed, but nothing really, I would say, that they created. Again, Longman on 52, a superb run, sort of like plays it ahead of three players, runs into the corner. Really, sort of really good stuff from Ryan Longman, just showing that desire. But then the ball comes back down to us, and then Cooper lumps it out of play. So I'm sure Longman was doing his nut. Some great link-up play from Tango. Actually, he sort of steps out, wins the ball, intercepts it, then plays a super ball to Obafemi. Obafemi drives. It's a really good shot from the edge of the area. And this is a good save from Ethan Horvath, making up for his earlier, probably where he should have done better for Obafemi's goal earlier. And I just felt we were really on top with winning the second ball in the second half. That was something that I just felt we really grew into the game. You could just see us wanting it more. Possibly the left back Collins could have been sent off. Him and Longman have a bit of a scuffle. They both get up. Collins seems to have a little bit of a kick out at Longman, and then Longman sort of points at him. It gets in his face, doesn't raise his hands, and then Collins gets up and puts his hands on Longman. And then somehow, as I said, this is what I'm saying, the linesman completely bottled it, because Collins could easily have been sent off there. And they both walk away with a booking. Very, very odd. 70 minutes. This is when Michael Obafemi goes off. Same change that happened against Leicester. Same thing happened. Standing ovation for Michael Obafemi. I think his last two performances have been excellent. And the other thing as well, it just shows you, for me, what this has done is also helped me appreciate Bradshaw more. And let me explain what I mean by that. Is Tom Bradshaw had to play 90 minutes pretty much on his own. There was no other outlet for large chunks of last season and this season. And game after game after game. And this is Michael Obafemi, who I would say is now probably fully fit. And he's managing 70. So I think that just shows you the mark of the man that is Tom Bradshaw. Because he, you know, Tom, the shift, the role that we ask our centre forwards to play requires a real shift. And, you know, credit to Michael Obafemi, because I think he's really got to a place where he knows how to play that role. I think he looks dangerous in every game. Well, he certainly has in the last two anyway. And he goes off to a standing ovation. We then win a free kick. The ball goes across the box. It's a poor free kick, but it sort of bamboozles everyone. And it goes narrowly wide. I'm not quite sure. It might have been Bradshaw who puts it narrowly wide. The thing that I liked about our second half performance was we never sat back. You know, it wasn't like watching us under Gary Rowett, where we would take the lead and we would just sit back. We didn't. I felt that we took the game to them. And, you know, Fleming has a long-range effort on 85, possibly could have played in. I don't know if it was Watmore. No, it was Cuffy at this point, who had come on for Ryan Longman. I failed to mention, actually, that Duncan Watmore had come on for Romain Essay at half-time. And I think I haven't heard Harris's interview back. I just saw a tweet from Richard Cowley saying it was tactical. I think that Harris made that change to win the game. We were 2-1 up. He could afford to take off when I say a luxury player, I don't mean that, but someone who is more trying to inflict damage on the opposition as opposed to someone who can do that still in Duncan Watmore, but it's definitely going to give you more going the other way. And also is better at keeping a shape. And that's why I think he made that change. Having said that, I think it probably has knocked SA's confidence a little bit by taking him off. I was chatting to some friends sort of during the game, and I do agree maybe giving him another 5-10 might have been the best thing. But then ultimately, we go on and win the game. And I don't really care who's got confidence issues and whatever. I think we just need to go and win the game. So you can't knock Harris. And as I say, more on Harris in a bit. But then two of Harris's substitutions combined to win the game. So the ball's played up. Bradshaw sort of flicks it to Norton Cuffey. Norton Cuffey beats Collins. He's fresh. He's got the legs. Drives forward. Puts a perfect ball in. Into the sort of middle back post. And there's Watmore. Really good, cool, composed finish. Into the bottom corner. 3-1. Game over. 50 points achieved. Then erupts. And it was amazing. If I'm honest, I was expecting the lino to put his flag up. They all appealed for it. And if I'm honest, from where I was sitting, it did look offside. But who cares? The amount of decisions that linesman didn't give us today, who gives a monkeys? 3-1 up. A very pale, skinny ginger man runs around topless, celebrating that third goal. None other than this man here. I'm pointing. I can never do this. This man here. Mr. Duncan Watmore, who I randomly have his shirt behind me. I should explain that whilst I'm talking about this. Basically, I've never done a sponsorship before, and I wanted to do a sponsorship for my old man. And my old man's favourite player, was it last season? Yeah, it was the start of last season, was Benny Kofobe. So as soon as we re-signed him, I sponsored him. And then he left. So it was like, right, you can have one of the January signings, and it was either Ollie Burke or Duncan Watmore. So no disrespect, Dunk, but you weren't my first choice. But that's why I've ended up with Duncan Watmore's shirt. But in the process, I did get to meet Duncan Watmore. He's a very nice chap, and he was just about to have a little one. So I hope everything's all going well there. Anyway, we sidetracked. We've won the game 3-1. The perfect tonic was finding out that Naki Wells scored a 100th minute penalty against his former club, Huddersfield, to equalise, which has now left it, despite Birmingham somehow beating Coventry 3-0. Explain that one. Definitely would have won a lot more money today had Coventry have won. Despite that result, we are now 6 points clear of the drop with a better goal difference. Personally, I think one more point does it, but one more win would mathematically seal it. We're now 16th, I believe, in the table. It would take a lot of results, especially some of the teams have got to play each other, for us not to stay up. And if we do stay up, Neil Harris deserves every superlative and every bit of credit possible. And I'll tell you the reason why. Not that you need to know the reason why, but let me tell you factually the reason why. And I was talking to Joe about this, Joe Zampa. He's the uglier, older version of me, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about. So he, otherwise known as my dad as well, by the way. So I was talking to him about this because we both agreed that if Joe Edwards was still in charge, and this is not me digging him out, it's just stating facts, we'd have gone down. Now, I was like, how can I prove or disprove that? So Neil Harris has achieved 1.7 points per game in his tenure, in the 10 games he's been here. He's amassed 17 points. Joe Edwards achieved 0.84 points per game, which is basically half of what Neil Harris was achieving. So if you halve 17 points, you can't, but let's just say he achieved 9 instead of 17. If you took 8 points off of our current position, we'd be in a relegation zone. So this is what I'm saying. Neil Harris is a major reason, the major reason. Probably, I think we were down. Seriously, I think we were down. And Neil Harris has turned this club. The being at the Den is night and day, isn't it? And you know exactly what I'm talking about, listeners. You will know exactly just how different it is. And it's just, he just deserves so much credit. He really, really does. So thank you, Sir Neil Harris. Right, player ratings and man of the match. So as I said, I think we've played better than today. I really do. But to put the amount of effort level that we put in against Leicester, and then go again, I think deserves a lot of credit because there's a lot of the same sort of players. So I think honourable mentions, as I said, I thought Tango did some excellent things. He's almost a joy to watch at times. Some of his composure and his calmness on the ball and the way he sort of steps into challenges and some of the passes he played today as well, over the top, through ball, it was just brilliant. Unfortunately, I can't give him man of the match because it was his, not error, but he got beaten in the air for the goal. So I can't give him man of the match. I thought Ryan Leonard was excellent again. I'm not going to give him man of the match, but he was excellent. I thought Billy Mitchell was excellent. Again, that's the second game running. I thought he was superb. I really did. I thought he was very, very, very good. He was everywhere. He covers every blade of grass. He's always the first one to the second ball. I'd love to know how many second balls he wins. Unfortunately, I don't actually think that's a stat I can get, but I will have a look if I can. I thought Longman put in a decent shift. Obafemi, as I said, I think he's really sort of found that role and really starting to play well. But my man in the match, I want to give to Danny McNamara because I think he's come back into the side. He's gone about his business. I think he's gone under the radar a little bit. He's playing in an unnatural position. And at times it shows, you know, there was one instance in the second half where he tried to sort of go past his man, but his lack of left foot and lack of pace, it ended up, I think he won a throw-in, in fairness. But it does show at times that he's playing in an unnatural position. But nothing got past him today. Absolutely nothing. I thought he was excellent. Cardiff tried a few different wingers, and I thought he was outstanding. I also thought he set the tone in terms of his aggressiveness today. And I think just for his overall consistency for the last few games, plus, as I said, a very good performance today, I want to give man of the match to Danny McNamara. So we now have three games left. Sunderland away, Plymouth at home, and then Swansea away. 3 points from those three games mathematically proves it. I still think that there is a scenario where we don't need to get another point. But I think, you know, Neil Harris won't be settling for that. He'll certainly want to, certainly the home game against Plymouth, I'm sure he'll want to ensure that he goes unbeaten in his record. So it's just, you roll back 3 months ago, 2-3 months ago, the position we were in. You even roll back a week. You know, this time last week, we just lost to Huddersfield. And I think a lot of us thought we were down. But the reaction that this group had is largely the same team. The reaction we've seen from this group, they clearly are playing for Neil Harris. A lot of people saying he's direct. But I actually think at times we're playing some nice football. There were some really nice combinations today. Particularly between Fleming and Obafemi. Just touching on Fleming, I'm definitely going off on a bit of a tangent here, but Fleming, I don't know, at times he weren't really in the game. Don't get me wrong, some of his touches and link-up play today was excellent, but I don't think he did much else. I want to see more from Zian Fleming, and I'm not being overcritical, but I think if I was to call one player out and say, want to see a little bit more from him, it would be him. However, he got an assist for that first goal. It was a super ball through, so maybe I'm being too harsh. But yeah, I think it was just the players are responding. There is some nice football being played, in my opinion. Again, we've limited Cardiff to an XG of 0.3. And I think we had about 1.5 ourselves. So you look at those stats and deserving winners. I don't really know what more to say, to be honest. Just, I'm absolutely buzzing. Wish I could have a beer, but I'm sure you lot are having it for me. So nice to meet a few folks again today as well. It's always nice to say hello to you. And obviously, always, as always, I really do appreciate every comment, every like, every whatever. So thank you all very much. Hopefully, you can go on and enjoy the rest of your weekend knowing we're at the 50-point mark. We've just won 3-1. It's the first time since, I think, Rotherham at home in September that we scored 3 goals at home, and just a fantastic way to round off the weekend. So I'll leave it there. I'll see lots of you, I'm sure, at Plymouth. As I said, thank you so much for listening and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye for now.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.